Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granth Rashima Bhagavatam ki, Giri Raj Maharaj ki, Jai Nitai Gopremanandi. Okay. So tonight we will begin chapter 81. What is 81 called? Krishna blesses Sudama. I've got some exams marked, so just remind me, I'll get them out at the end of the class. So chapter 81, the Lord blesses Sudama. It's a very important pastime, it's a very sweet pastime. Shukadeva Goswami said, Lord Hari, Krishna, perfectly knows the hearts of all living beings, and he is especially devoted to the Brahmanas. While the Supreme Lord, the goal of all saintly persons, conversed in this way with the best of the twice-born, he laughed and spoke the following words to that dear friend of his, the Brahmana Sudama, all the while smiling and looking upon him with affection.
According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the words Swarup Buddha no Nicha indicate that since Lord Krishna knows the minds of everyone, he could tell at once that his friend Sudama had brought some flat rice for him and was ashamed to present it. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti's further explanation of this verse, Lord Krishna smiled at this moment, thinking, yes, I am going to make you show what you brought for me. His smile then turned to laughter as he thought, how long are you going to keep this precious gift hidden in your cloak? Krishna glanced towards the bundle hidden inside his friend's garment, telling Sudama by his loving glance, the veins showing through your emaciated skin and your dead clothes astonish everyone present, but these symptoms of poverty will last only until tomorrow morning. Although Lord Krishna is Bhagavan, the Supreme Independent Lord, he is always pleased to reciprocate with those who are Priya, his cherished servants. As the indulgent patron of the Brahmana class, he especially enjoys favoring Brahmanas who are additionally qualified by unconditional devotion to him.
So what are the points? What is that? You're supposed to. Nectar of devotion, Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu says every time you walk in the temple, you should have a gift. But most of us do not do it. So we give our life, we give our heart to the deities. So, any other points?
Krishna knows everyone's mind.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Yeah, so it's very important to understand on the path of bhakti that there is nothing that we can offer Krishna which is significant or impressive to him. You have to understand this point. Sometimes you give $1,000 to the deities, to the temple, and you feel like a sense of pride. Or you give $10,000, or you give $100,000. You give it $1,000,000, but it's not significant. All these things are not significant. You know, it is the bhakti which is significant. There's nothing we can give Krishna which is impressive. You know, we cook elaborate offerings, like on Janmashtami we cook so many offerings. You know, my service every year is to get all the offerings together and offer it to the deities. But whenever we offer all the, and even, you know, like Raj Bhava, we offer like 200+ offerings. You know, it's a nice offering. But compared to what Krishna gets in the spiritual world, it's not significant. We have to understand that nothing that we do or give is significant to Krishna. The only thing which is significant is the bhakti. It's the devotion. It's the love. If you give that, then Krishna is satisfied. At this point in time, our bhakti is mishra. Karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti. It's not pure devotional service. There's no one amongst us who is rendering pure devotional service to Krishna. So the point is, how much is the percentage that we're offering? How much is mixed or contaminated with other desires? When you render service to Krishna, then there's always something else. It's never just pure devotional service. There are always other things mixed in. I know for myself, primarily it is pratishta. And pratishta means the desire for recognition. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said this is the most powerful of the anartas. So these are the things that contaminate us. There's many things that contaminate us in our service. The desire for recognition and other things. But as is pointed out here, it is only devotional service, bhakti, which satisfies Krishna's consciousness or heart. Nothing else. Well, it doesn't matter what you give. Understand that. None of your service is terribly significant in the scheme of everything. Right. On another level, the service is significant because it is being done with some level, some percentage of good intent and pure intention to satisfy Krishna, Guru and Krishna, and the Vaishnavas. So that's what Krishna is seeing. Krishna sees both things, right? Sometimes we say Krishna only sees the good. No, that's not true. He sees the what you're holding back as well. Sometimes we say Krishna always sees what we're holding back. That's not true. He always sees what you're giving as well. And Krishna sees both things, and he weighs it up, and he reciprocates accordingly. Yayama pramam prapachanti tamstatavya bhajamiham. As you surrender, I reward you. So you surrender to Krishna, you do some nice service, but there are some anattas there. So Krishna accepts the service, but because he's pleased with the service, he works on the anattas for you. Right? He begins to pull out the impurities. That is the system of bhakti. So we should understand this. There's nothing that we offer to Krishna which is significant. We should become less and less proud. Over time, as the years go by, you should feel the pride, the lust, the anger, the greed, the impurities decreasing. Sometimes they come up and down like a little bit, but you should feel gradually like a decrease in the material desires and the motivations. So the other point is that Krishna always gives more than what we can even desire. In devotional service, you will get much more than what you can imagine. The Bhagavatam says in many of the chapters, many of the pastimes, there is stuti phala at the end of the pastime where benedictions are given. The Bhagavatam even mentions you will get material benefit. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. If you study the Bhagavatam carefully, if you study particular pastimes, like with Varaha Dev and other pastimes, it says you will gain many things: victory in battle, wealth, long life, freedom from disease. These are material benedictions. But you will get these things according to how much we surrender. So that is the system. We will get so many benedictions, even material benedictions you will get. So Krishna always gives us more than we deserve. Just like one devotee I know, she came to India with me last year and she got very sick when she got back. And then she wrote me a text yesterday, I think it was, long text, and she said actually she's feeling blessed because she's gone through so much difficulty, like really heavy. She got pneumonia. Went to India, came back with pneumonia and like an infection. I mean, it's 5 months, I think, since we've been there. 6 months, maybe, and still so many problems are there in the body. But she says she's feeling peaceful and purified, and that is the attitude of a devotee. That when we're suffering, we see that is Krishna's mercy. It is his purification. Even Prabhupada cut his finger one time. Prabhupada said, actually, my whole arm should have been cut off. But Krishna was very merciful. He just gave me a little reaction. So a devotee feels like that. As time goes by, we should feel like that. If we are suffering in Krishna's service and we're blaming Krishna, that is not very advanced. Then we have to work on our consciousness. Because when we're suffering, we should be thankful, actually. Krishna, I deserve more. I should be suffering more, but you are merciful. You're just giving me this token reaction compared to what I should be suffering. Sometimes we don't think like that. Sometimes we're suffering and we say to Krishna, why are you doing this to me? Why don't you do it to someone else? Why don't you stop? Why do you have to give so much? I did service for you last year. I fasted the whole Jamashtri. Jamashtri, I didn't even drink water. Why are you doing this to me? Sometimes we say things like that to Krishna. So you can say that to Krishna. That doesn't change anything. Krishna will do what he wants to do, not what you want to do. So you have to surrender. Just whatever Krishna wants. Okay, Krishna, that's what you want. Okay, I accept that. There must be a reason why you're doing this. And ultimately it is for my good. Why would Krishna do something negative? Sometimes we feel like that. He's pushing me so hard and I did so many things for him. Why is he doing that to me? Well, that's not true. It's only for your good. But you have to become more advanced to see it like that. But he will always give you much more than what you desire. Even what you desire. Like, Sudama didn't desire anything, really. And he got so much, you'll see in this chapter. That's because Krishna will give you much more than what you desire. Just surrender to Krishna and everything will come. Any points? The Supreme Lord said, O Brahmana, what gift have you brought me from home? I regard as great even the smallest gift offered by my devotees in pure love. But even great offerings presented by non-devotees do not please me. Any other pastimes that explain this? Duryodhana. And? Vidura. So Krishna came. Why did Krishna come? Why did he go to Hastinapur?
He's a messenger.
Messenger, what for? What was the message? Why did Krishna go to Hastinapur? For what? Yeah, he was trying to stop the battle. Krishna's a peaceful person. We have to understand this. He gets criticized. Lord Rama gets criticized. Some scholars, the last few years, they wrote some very inappropriate things about Lord Ramachandra. Because they don't understand the Lord is a person. He's a good person. Purushottama means he's the best of people. If you see him from a materialistic point of view, you won't understand his consciousness. People say, oh, he starts wars. He doesn't start wars. Right? He tried to avoid the fighting. It could not be avoided, so then the battle went on. So Krishna arrived. He went to stop the whole thing. Make peace. Devotees like to make peace. We don't like to argue. We like to be peaceful. The conflict is the last resort. Always last. We don't go to conflict first. That's last. We will use conflict, but that is the final thing. We will use force, but that is the last resort. We always try to be peaceful first. So then Krishna went there. Even before he got there, Duryodhana was trying to bribe him. On the road leading into Hastinapur, so many gifts were being given to Krishna. And then he arrived there, and Duryodhan cooked a huge feast, like tables full of very opulent food being offered. Krishna saw the whole thing. He wasn't attracted. Imagine you've been traveling long distance, you're hungry, you know, everyone likes to eat nice things. All that is there, but Krishna was not attracted to it. He said, Duryodhan, you're just trying to bribe me. And he said, but unless you make peace with the Pandavas, I will not take anything that you offer me. And then Duryodhan was insulted, so he said, arrest him. So the guards came to grab Krishna, and Krishna from him expanded so many other personalities. The Pandavas manifested, the demigods manifested, Balaram manifested, right? So many, and everyone stood back. And then they all withdrew back into Krishna. And then Duryodhan said, he's a mystic. No, don't go near him. And Krishna said, I will eat somewhere else. So then he went across to Vidura's house. He walked in, and Vidura was not expecting Krishna there, so there's nothing cooked. So he just said, please sit down, sit down. We're so happy to see you. He had so many tears in his eyes, he couldn't even see properly. And he was ecstatic that Krishna came. So he said to his wife, please bring something. So she brought bananas, peeled the banana, gave Krishna the banana peel, put the banana. And Krishna's looking, and he thought, okay. And then started eating the banana peel. Because it was offered with love. Then you will take it. Just like sometimes your kids, you know, when they're growing up, they buy you really stupid gifts. I don't know if you had that experience, but you know, it's your money, it's not even their money, it's your money. And they go and they choose something for you, the most stupid things. Like, you know, purple ties and all sorts of things. Things you would never use or wear or like. But then, because your kid gave it to you, then you wear it. You know, wear in the office your stupid purple tie. You know. And everyone in the office thinks, you know, that's the most stupid tie I ever saw. But in your heart you feel, you know, it may be stupid, but my son or daughter gave that to me, so I will wear it. Yeah. So it is like that with Krishna. Even sometimes we offer him service which is not perfect or pure, but still, because there is some love there, and Krishna, he relishes that, he accepts that. So with Vidura, then Krishna accepted even banana peel, because it was offered with love. So then Krishna relished that. Any points?
Somebody offered the fruit, so with the fruit, see whether it's sweet, give it not wrong.
The sabari.
Yeah.
Okay. Famous verse from
Bhagavad Gita.
Famous verse from Bhagavad Gita. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Chandal.
Famous words are also spoken by Lord in Bhagavad Gita. The translation and meanings here are taken from Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. In the context of the current episode of Sudama's visit to Dwarka, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has kindly continued his explanation of Lord Krishna's statements. This verse is a reply to Sudama's anxiety that his bringing such an unfit offering was ill considered. The use of the words may seem redundant since they both mean offered with devotion. But Bhaktya can indicate how the Lord reciprocates the devotional mood of whoever offers him something with love. In other words, Lord Krishna here declares that his reciprocation in a pure loving exchange is not dependent on the external quality
of what is offered. Krishna says something may or may not be impressive and pleasing in its own right, but when my devotee offers it to me in devotion with the expectation that I will enjoy it, it gives me great pleasure. In this regard, I make no discrimination. The verb isnamin, I eat, implies that Lord Krishna eats even a flower which is supposed to be smelled. As he is by the ecstatic love he feels for his devotee. Someone might then question the Lord, so will you refuse an offering made to you by a devotee of some other deity? The Lord answers, yes, I will refuse to eat it. This is the Lord's Lord states by the phrase inclined only by devotional service. To me, can one become pure in heart?
Hmm. So, what are the points?
Some other deity, person is worshipping some other god, and he will offer something to Krishna. It's not the deity. Hmm. God worshipping the demigod and offering something to Krishna is not that deity.
Anything else?
Lord doesn't accept any common offering.
Yeah. Good point. So, the Bhagavad Gita, every verse is expanded in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavad Gita is like a seminal text, 700 verses, sutra. Sutra means a very terse or very concise truth is held within the verse. So the Gita is considered a Upanishad, Gita Upanishad. Prabhupada explains that in the introduction. So the Bhagavad Gita doesn't have any storyline. It is not Puranic. It is considered to be part of the Shruti, or part of the philosophical portion of the Vedas. There's not Smriti, there's not Puranic, there's not a pastime. It's part of the Mahabharata, but the actual text is it's the jewel of the Mahabharata. It's just philosophy. So in the Gita, every verse is then expanded upon in the Bhagavatam, so that we can understand. So the Bhagavatam gives all the verses which are discussed and then expands them, so that we understand it better. So this verse is actually here. Same verse is in the Gita. But the pastime is expanding the nature of the verse, so we can understand. So you read Patram, Pushpam, Phalam Toyam, Yomi Bhakti. So when you read that shloka, then you can think of this pastime to expand the meaning of it, so you understand it, you realize it. So, ashnami, the word is used. What does it mean? I accept it. Technically, it means relish. I relish it. You know, like sometimes you relish prasadam. You ever relish prasadam?
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Festivals.
Huh? And festivals. Yeah, every day is a festival in ISKCON. So we relish prasadam. So nectarian. So that's what it's like for Krishna. When he gets the offering, the bhoga, devotees are cooking in the kitchen, then they take it to the altar and they offer it to Krishna. Krishna relishes it. Not the material ingredients, but the love or the bhakti or the devotion of the devotee. If it's offered with love, then Krishna relishes that. Ashnami means I enjoy it. So they just like that. When someone gives you a gift, six ways, Rupa Goswami says, to exchange priti lakshana. Exchange priti with the devotees. Priti means loving sentiments. Six ways we do it. We offer the gift and we receive the gift. Right? And then we offer prasad, and we receive the prasad. And we reveal the mind, and then we inquire confidentially. This is a way to relish exchanges. So Krishna relishes. That's why he's known as Rasika Shekhar, or Rasaraja. It means Krishna relishes the most. That's how we enjoy life. Right? Because if you look at the modern world especially, life is pretty boring. Is that a fair statement?
It's worse, it's even hard and cold.
Hard and cold.
I'll explain what I mean. Like when you were talking, I was thinking of my grandmother needed me a shawl, and whenever I'm cold at home, it's too old now to wear out, but I put it around me and I always feel so happy because she's made it for me with so much love. Or when your mother cooks for you or your wife cooks for you or whatever, you feel that difference, but I think today people do less cooking in the home. They knit less, they make those intimate sort of exchanges are disappearing. And it's very hard and cold. So you go to the cafe, you buy something to eat, but the person that's made it isn't happy to be there and to make it.
Yeah, it's a different feeling, different exchange. So that is the point that, you know, some of you said, you know, the world is somewhat boring at this point in time. I don't know if you experienced that, but a lot of life is just very boring, very mundane. Depends on your life and your job and many things. But how do you make anything can be pleasurable? You can be in the most boring place on the earth, right? But if you're there with one of your friends, you can be having the best time. You know, you're just sitting there, friend, you're both making jokes and laughing and, you know, saying, oh, you know, look at that, you know, and then, you know, oh, I remember what you said yesterday, you know, and then like everyone was, you know, and then the rasa is churned. And if you look at Krishna's pastimes, they're quite simple. You know, he just goes out with cows, comes back, someone's like, oh, that's not very exciting and like that. But it's full of rasa, right? It's full of rasa. It's full of, you know, Krishna is expert making exchanges and like that. Otherwise, life is incredibly boring. It can be very boring, you know, but then it can be very nectarian, right, if we relish the exchanges. So that Krishna makes all the exchanges relishable. That's why, by studying the Bhagavatam, and particularly the 10th canto, we should become attached to want Krishna's association. That should be the result. You're studying the Bhagavatam, you should feel, I want to be with you again. I want to associate with you again and your associates. Please make me qualify so that I can one day associate and serve you all. Right? And then it's much more satisfying. Otherwise, material world is just full of, it's not a satisfying place. So then, Prabhupada makes the point, well not Prabhupada, but Prabhupada's followers make the point. Krishna doesn't accept the offerings of the non-devotees. Right? Someone who is not a devotee. Right? If someone doesn't see Krishna as supreme, right, they think, oh, you know, like it's one of the 10 offenses in chanting the holy name. To consider the names of the demigods to be equal to or independent of the name of?
Lord Vishnu.
Lord Vishnu. Or Krishna. So if you think, then Krishna will not accept that offering. You know, if the mentality of the person offering is, I offer to Lord Shiva, I offer to Ganesh, I offer to Durga, I offer to my grandmother, I offer to, you know, Sai Baba, I offer to Krishna. It's like, just put it all in. Krishna does not accept or relish that offering. Because there is no proper siddhanta or proper conclusion. So we have to understand who Krishna is, right? And then you offer it to him based on that. So why do we offer the bhoga to Krishna? Right? At your house, why do you offer the bhoga to Krishna?
Because he is the supreme source of everything.
Because he is the supreme source of everything. Why else? Why do you offer the bhoga to Krishna?
Everybody else becomes satisfied if you root the water, the root of the tree.
Yeah, the whole universe is satisfied. Why else do you offer the Bhoga to Krishna.
To express our love. To express our love.
To express our love, yeah. Actually, that's why we should be doing it. Just like in Vrindavan. Has anyone been to Vrindavan? In Vrindavan, Hari Swarupa, we said to Prabhupada, is everything cooked in Vrindavan Prasadam? Prabhupada said, yes, it is already Prasad. Even though they don't do an offering, it is Prasad because it's cooked in Vrindavan. As long as it's all pure, you know, foods and like that. And then Hari Swarupa said to Prabhupada, then why do we offer it to the deity? If it's already Prasad, why do we offer it to Krishna? Prabhupada said, because Krishna is hungry. That is bhakti. When you're offering, you think Krishna is hungry. He wants something to eat. Are you hungry? That means Krishna must be hungry. Krishna is more hungry than you. So that's why we offer. That should be the mentality when we're offering. Foods, if they're cooked by the non-devotee, Krishna doesn't accept them. You know, like some devotees at home, they eat what we call, foods which are cooked by the non-devotees. Breakfast cereals, cornflakes, or Special K, or Nutri-Grain, or whatever it is. So many things. Sometimes devotees do that. Even devotees sitting here right now. Like some of us do it in our home. We eat foods cooked by the non-devotees. But then some devotees say, oh, but we can offer it to Krishna. No, you can't. Krishna's not going to eat the cornflakes. Because there's no... Love it. Okay, you're offering with love. That's nice. That's okay. But it's not cooked with love. So what's in it for Krishna? That's the point. Okay, sometimes you eat those things. But understand that Krishna is not going to accept it. Understand that point. Okay, you're eating it for whatever reason. You know, because you haven't got time in the morning, so you get cornflakes, put it in the bowl, put some milk, and then... Yeah, that's your life, that's your choice. Whatever you do, that's it. We're not condemning or judging. But don't think that you can offer it. Don't put it in a little bowl put it on the altar, because it's not for that. It is. It's cooked by non-devotees. It's not like that. Even, actually, if you read this verse in the Bhagavad Gita... Whereabouts in the Gita is this verse? Chapter 9, right? Which verse? 26. This is the most important chapter in the whole Bhagavad Gita. The most important chapter in the whole Bhagavad Gita is chapter 9. And chapter 10, verses 8 to 11, Chatur Shloki. That's the most important, most confidential knowledge. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his commentary on this verse, he said, actually what it means is when you offer the food to Krishna, it means the devotees should grow the food. We should grow it, we should harvest it, right? We should prepare it, cook it, offer it to Krishna. All of those things. Then it is the most relishable. Sometimes at our farm we grow things. For Krishna's pleasure. Now the vegetables are stopping because they're in between seasons now. So, the last few weeks, I brought like big tubs full of tomatoes and eggplants and capsicum for the deities. Actually, that's what Krishna wants. We should grow the food ourselves. In this day and age, that's difficult because artificial society. But actually, that's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when Krishna speaks that verse, that's what he means. Not just you offer it to me, but you grow it, you harvest it, you did everything. Then Krishna says, Ashnami, I relish it. And Krishna really relishes that. So satisfying. Any points?
So what about the verse... Whatever you eat, make it an offering. Whatever you do, whatever you eat. So people are eating cornflakes, so they have to make an offering.
The what?
People, if they are eating cornflakes, they have to make an offering to Krishna.
What are you talking about?
Make it an offering to me.
What are you talking about? That verse is not explaining pure devotional service. Whatever you do, whatever austerities you perform, whatever you... charity, whatever you give away, that's not pure devotional service. This verse is pure devotional service. It's a higher level of consciousness. That verse is like nishkama, like that. You're doing it. Okay, I like to eat this, so I'll offer it to Krishna. Just like on Saturday, what day is it? Nisringa Chaturdasi. So devotees will cook a feast for Lord Nisringa. What should we cook Lord Nisringadev on his birthday?
Cake.
What he wants to eat. Krishna, there's certain items that Krishna likes. It's all written down in the Shastra. What Krishna likes. You know, devotees always think, oh, pizza is the best. But there's nowhere in the Bhagavatam. It's a fact. It's not there. There's no pizza. There's not one pastime where, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, oh, you know, they had pizza,
lasagna,
spaghetti, ice cream. There's not one pastime. There's not one pastime. So we think, oh, that's the best. Just like, you know, Nisringa Chaturdasi is coming. So I asked the devotees at the farm, we're going to have a small festival at the farm, like that, because, you know, it's a little far for us to come. So a small festival. So I said to the devotee, I said, you know, make a feast, give me the menu. So they gave me and then they showed me. I said, that's what you want to eat. I said, that's not what the Lord wants. He wants what... So they modified it. It's like half. Yeah, we had to make some compromise. I said, oh, we're going to cook this for the people. I said, that's not... It's Nisringadev's appearance. So your birthday, you do whatever you want. It's Nisringadev's birthday. It's his appearance that you cook what he wants. Now, what does he like to eat? That's it. In the Shastra, rice, dal, puri, pakora, kofta, different things like that. And these are the things that the Lord likes. You know, we know Lord Chaitanya likes sak. He likes the spinach. So then always, when you're cooking for Mahaprabhu, you should make sure there's spinach there. Yeah, that's his favorite. It says that. So whatever is there, you should offer. Like Srila Prabhupada, he likes kachoris. When he was a boy, they used to call him kachori mukha. You know, always kachoris in the face. Always eating the kachori. So if we're cooking feast for Prabhupada, make kachori. Yeah. Things that people like, and that's what you offer. Any points? Shukadev Goswami continued, even after being addressed in this way, O king, the brahmana felt too embarrassed to offer his palmfuls of flat rice to the husband of the goddess of fortune. He simply kept his head bowed in shame. So he did not want to offer it to Krishna. He felt embarrassed, right? But it's pointed out in the commentary that he had a desire. His desire was to offer something to Krishna. But then when he actually was in front of Krishna, he realized, this is not very good. But the desire was there to offer. So that's what Krishna is. So Krishna said, oh, you have something? Oh, give me that. What is that? You give that to me. And when Krishna, he relished it. So it's just some dry chip rice. Nothing special, not palatable. But Krishna said, give that to me. Same in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Raghunath Das Goswami. Lord Chaitanya said to Raghunath Das, what is that you have? He had the dried up rice offered to Lord Jagannath, which was thrown out. The cows ate it, the cows passed it, and then, you know, it's like, Lord Chaitanya said, what is that? He said, you have nectar, you're not giving me that, you give that to me. Lord Chaitanya took that. So the Lord is looking for what the devotee is offering in the heart. That's what the Lord is looking for. That's the most important thing. Being the direct witness in the hearts of all living beings, Lord Krishna fully understood why Sudama had come to see him. Thus he thought, in the past my friend has never worshipped me out of a desire for material opulence. But now he comes to me to satisfy his chaste and devoted wife. I will give him riches that even the immortal demigods cannot obtain. So in the commentary, the verse is quoted also from the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, with my devotee, I preserve what they have, and
I carry what they like.
I carry what they like. So this is very important to understand. That Krishna, he always preserves. If the devotee has a desire, Krishna will fulfill that desire. If you have some service you want to do for Krishna, Krishna will make sure that service gets offered. He will test you to see how sincere you are. He will not make it easy to do it, but he will make it happen if he desires. Srila Prabhupada says, just the desire to do the service is as purifying as doing the service. Now, that's a very powerful statement. Just the desire to do the service is as powerful as doing the service, as purifying. But then you could take advantage of that. You say, I'll just stay in bed, and I'll just say, I desire to go to Mangalati. It doesn't work like that. You have to actually put the effort in. But if you have the desire, you know, I want to distribute in the marathon 100 books a day. You have the desire. That desire is purifying. Even if you don't have the ability, but then gradually Krishna can give you the ability. I've seen devotees over the years. you see some of the artists who painted some of the famous pictures in ISKCON. When those devotees joined the movement, they weren't very good. You see some of their first paintings are not very good. They're quite simplistic. They're not very... But then you see later on, the same devotees, like amazing artwork. Krishna gave them the ability. So, because Sudama is having that desire, then... in devotional service, it's important that the devotees this is explained in the commentary. It's important that the devotees are not too detached or too attached. This is an important point. Prabhupada gave this instruction to Umapati Prabhu, one of his first disciples in New York, 1966. Prabhupada said, Umapati Prabhu told me, he said, Prabhupada said, not too much attachment, not too much detachment in devotional service. Don't be too renounced, don't be too attached. Not too much renunciation, not too much sense gratification. Prabhupada said, bhakti means the middle path. So we should be like that. Because we're not very good at renunciation anyway. We're not very good at it. It's not very natural to people in this day and age. But we should not be too attached to sense gratification either. Prabhupada said, be careful, the spirit of sense gratification does not enter the name of Krishna consciousness. So we have to be careful. Just be moderate in your practices. Thinking like this, the Lord snatched from the Brahmana's garment the grains of flat rice tied up in an old piece of cloth and exclaimed, what is this? My friend, you have brought this for me. It gives me extreme pleasure. Indeed, these few grains of flat rice will satisfy not only me, but also the entire universe. Any pastime you can think of that explains this?
And Durvasa comes to make
pandavas. Durvasa comes in the forest and Draupadi has her pot. And what is the rule?
After Draupadi,
yeah. She can only cook, she can feed unlimited people. She got the pot from Vivashwan, the sun god. So she can feed unlimited people, but once she eats, that is it, no one else. Right, so you know the pastime. And then Krishna comes, he said, nothing there. He said, no, I already washed it. He said, have a look. He said, one little grain. He said, just give me that. And then put in. And then everyone was satisfied. The whole universe felt like they fully satisfied. Everyone had taken prasad, as much as you can take. So then Devasa thought, no, you know, now. And then Krishna said to Bhima, Bhima Singh, he said, go and get Devasa and all the disciples. So Bhima would pick up his club, put it on his shoulder, and walk down to the river. They were all taking bath. He said, hey, all of you come now, take prasad. They said, oh, we can't eat, we're too full. So they all ran away. So if Krishna is satisfied, everyone is satisfied. That's the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. If Krishna is happy, you don't have to make anyone else in this world happy. It's an important point to understand. Especially the non-devotees, your family members, all these. They always want so much from you. At some point in time, you just have to, in your heart, you just have to give yourself to Krishna. They're always asking, do this, do this, do this. No, you just, if it's not going to be advantageous to your Krishna consciousness, you can renounce the obligations. Right, it's a difficult thing because you have to satisfy the obligations, but only as much as it doesn't cover your Krishna consciousness. It's a fine line between the two things. After saying this, the Supreme Lord ate one palmful and was about to eat a second when the devoted goddess Rukmini took hold of his hand. So it's explained in the commentary that Rukmini, she said, or she implied, if you eat all of this wonderful treat your friends brought from this house, what will I have to left for my friends, co-wives, servants, and myself? This is how cultured people are in the Vedic civilization, right? And Indian people, because you're all from India mostly, you know, it's a superior culture, right? Middle Eastern also, it's a superior culture. She said, what she actually think? She says, Krishna, stop eating this chip rice. What is she thinking? She's thinking, this is not good for him. It's not good, he might get sick. You know, it's old, he's been carrying it for days, it's, you know, dry and like that. She's thinking about him, but she doesn't say it like that. Because Sudama is there, she doesn't say, oh, Krishna, don't eat that. She says, no, don't eat it all, because then I have to give it to everyone else as well. She's not thinking like that. That's culture. So we have to learn these cultural points. Speak pleasingly. Krishna said, this is austerity of the speech. You speak in a pleasing way to others. It's an art, actually. It's an art. It's being lost more and more. Queen Rukmini said, this is more than enough. O soul of the universe, to secure him an abundance of all kinds of wealth in this world and the next, after all, one's prosperity depends simply on your satisfaction. Shukadeva Goswami continued, the Brahmanas spent that night in Lord Achyuta's palace after eating and drinking to his full satisfaction. He felt as if he had gone to the spiritual world. So when you serve Krishna, everything becomes very opulent. You will be given unlimited opulence, actually. You know, we experience this as devotees. We get so much opulence. You know, so much facility is given. When you serve Krishna, you get so much. You know, like I've been a devotee now for a number of years, and like so much nice prasadam. And at the end of the day, what's life really about? It's about eating. You know, why do we work? Why do you go to work? So you can eat. It's really all that life's about. If you boil it all down, it's basically about that. There's a little bit more to it, but not much. And so when you come to ISKCON, you just eat the best things. You know, sometimes I get on the plane, I go to India, and then, you know, they start bringing around all the food. You know, so then they start serving all the people sitting in the plane. You get that little box, you know, the really good stuff. You know, and you open it up, and it's like, you know. So then, you know, we always take our own prasad. So sitting on the plane, we start pulling out this and that, and all the non-devotees are like, oh, no. You know, and sometimes we hand out samosas and stuff. And, oh, would you like to try this? And like, oh, well, this is good. You know, this is our life, much better. Always much, much better. So when you live with Krishna, you get everything. When we go back to the spiritual world, like opulence beyond imagination. Devotees serve Krishna, so it's so opulent, beyond what we can even perceive. The next day, Sudama set off for home while being honored by Lord Krishna, the self-satisfied maintainer of the universe. The Brahmana felt greatly delighted, my dear king, as he walked along the road. So it says that Krishna walked out of the palace with him, and for he went some distance with him. It's also one of the cultural points of Vedic civilization. When the guest leaves, you should escort them as far as practical. So Sudama was walking. Krishna walked with him outside of Dwarka and walked with him. And then eventually he said, now I have to go back, please. So that's the system. Although he had apparently received no wealth from Lord Krishna, Sudama was too shy to beg for it on his own. He simply returned home, feeling perfectly satisfied to have had the Supreme Lord's audience. Sudama thought, Lord Krishna is known to be devoted to the Brahmanas, and now I have personally seen this devotion. Indeed, he who carries the goddess of fortune on his chest has embraced the poorest beggar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sharanagati, surrender to Krishna, has six divisions. And two of them are thinking that Krishna is my maintainer, he is my protector. So devotees think like that. That's why he didn't ask for anything. He thought, Krishna will look after me. And then when he got home, he had much more than he could ever think of. But devotees think like that. You know, we always think Krishna will look after us. You know, even when life becomes difficult, but Krishna will look after us. There's no anxiety for devotees. You know, if I have any problems, I'll just come and live at your house. So many devotees I know like that. So many. So many devotees. I know if I have problems, I'll just go and live at their house. What's the problem? So I don't have any anxiety. If my life really falls apart, then what's the problem? Let's go and live with one of the devotees. You know, until we get it back together and then go and do it. What's the problem? So there's no anxiety. Really. You know, sometimes, you know, some anxiety is there, but nothing to really worry about. Who am I, a sinful poor friend of a Brahmana? And who is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Full in six opulences. Nonetheless, he has embraced me with his two arms. So sometimes we find ourselves in poverty. Actually, it says here, and Chanakya says this as well, poverty breeds all bad qualities. When people don't have enough, that's when they start, even good people, they can start becoming, their character can turn. Poverty is it's a very difficult situation to go in. Because then people can do all sorts of bad things, you know, if they don't have enough. So it is that's why in Vedic culture is the duty of the king to make sure there's no poverty. Everyone should have enough. You know, the king will make sure everyone has enough. Right? And you have to work. The king makes sure everyone has to work. Only people who are old or disabled or diseased, they get looked after. These days we have a stupid system. You know, and then all the lazy people don't work, and then that's not the system. He treated me just like one of his brothers, making me sit on the bed of his beloved consort. And because I was fatigued, his queen personally fanned me with a yak tail chamara. Although he is the lord of all the demigods and the object of worship for all brahmanas, he worshipped me as if I were a demigod myself, massaging my feet and rendering other humble services. Devotional service to his lotus feet is the root cause of all the perfections a person can find in heaven, in liberation, in the subterranean regions, and on earth. Thinking, if this poor wretch suddenly becomes rich, he will forget me in his intoxicating happiness. The compassionate Lord did not grant me even a little wealth. So we have to accept this, that Krishna will only give us what is best for us. For some devotees, he will give you lots of money. Yeah? Because he knows that devotee will use the money in Krishna's service. Other devotees, he thinks, I will not give them anything, because if I give it to them, they will become intoxicated and they will not use it. They'll become bewildered. So Krishna deals with every devotee according to what they need and what they want. Okay. Tomorrow night we'll finish the chapter. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.